Anyhow, welcome back, guys. Kind of got some new things working on here with the way we're recording and what we're recording. And so, but I just want to take a few minutes and reach out to all of you. And you should be or should have been dealing with, should have already had Passover, which happened on last Monday, a week from Monday. And then we had 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which ended yesterday, last night. And that takes us into first fruits and what I want to talk about today. And so I don't want to take a lot of your time, but some of you are like me. You are new to Torah and you're trying to kind of figure out the whole Torah thing. And I know when I first started celebrating these feast days, the first fruits and Shavuot and all of these things that we're going to talk about today, it can be really confusing. And I know some of you may be even in that place where you were like, this is really confusing. And I would say it's confusing, number one, because we've never done it before, right? And so we have people that are watching us all over the place. And I've talked to people who are very mature in the faith, and I've talked to people who are new as they come into Torah. And I get pretty much the same thing, that when you first come in, this stuff is really confusing. And so I want to kind of break it down with you. I'm going to show you some scripture. But when we go into the spring feast, which are super important, we already did Passover. Passover is technically, it's only one night. It's just the one night. When we look at the Bible and we see the story of the nation of Israel being delivered by Yahweh, it was a one night event. And then that kicks off the seven days or 1 week of eating matzah, taking all the leaven out of your home and eating the matzah. You don't eat any yeast items over the next 7 days. And then that goes right into the celebration of the first fruits. And then we go from first fruits, we count. Technically, it was the last day of this year. It was the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You have the first fruits, and then that kicks off what we're going to talk about today, and really for the next several times. I've got probably three or four messages we're going to talk, or times we're going to get together, and I'm going to invite a couple of our leaders in, and we're going to have some one-on-one talk, and I think that'll be really good for all of us. So with that, we're going to talk about the Omer, and we count. The Omer for 49 days, 50 days, and that leads us up to a most excellent, powerful celebration, which is the Feast of Shavuot. And you may know it if you're new into the faith of the Day of Pentecost. And I want to talk about that. So this is really good stuff. So let's go really quickly. Let's go look into, I'm going to share my screen, and let's take a look if I can. Let's see if I'm able to do that. What do we got here? Oh man, where is my, there we go. So now we can, I wonder, can I share that? I don't know if I can share that. This is not, maybe not, it may not window. Let me see. Ah, there we go. That's what I'm looking for. All righty. So as we see here, we're going to look into this passage right here, Leviticus 23, and we're looking at verse 15. And so it says, I have it highlighted here, right here for you. And it says right here, it says in verse 15 of Leviticus 23, then you are to count from the morrow after, the day after, the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave offering, 7 complete Shabbat. So literally 7 weeks or 49 days of the wave offering, 7 complete Shabbat until the morrow after the seventh, this is where we get the 50 days, the seventh Shabbat, you are to count 50 days and then present a new grain offering to Adonai. Now, you may wonder, maybe asking yourself, why is this so important that we do this? Well, because remember, as we've talked about before, the spring feasts, the ones we're in right now, all point to or are prophetic of what Messiah has already done. Now, looking back, I was talking to my brother about this, and I've been witnessing to him. Pray for him. His name's Tim. He's a great young man. I mean, he's allowed me this last weekend to just share the gospel with him, and and talk about these spring feasts. The spring feasts are important because they prophetically showed, when we look in that, what Jesus was going to do and what we know as what he has already done. And this is vital. So what does this have to do? What does the counting of the Omer into Shavuot absolutely mean? So let's backtrack again. You have the Passover representing the blood over the doorpost, and anyone who did not have the blood over the doorpost, right? Death came. Well, that's absolutely what happens now. That Messiah has come. He is the lamb. He is the ultimate sacrifice. And what does he do? He makes the sacrifice. And then the blood of Messiah, when we invite him in, when we believe in him, when we repent of sin and believe on Yeshua, what happened? The blood of Messiah is over the doorpost of our hearts. Okay. That leads us into the celebration of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. What's that about? It's getting the sin out. We see Paul talk about it in the Bible, where he talks about us taking the old hamatz out of our life. Yeast or hamatz always represents sin. It always does. And so when we talk about celebrating, like I've heard Christians go, well, we don't need to do these things because, you know, Jesus already did these things. And you may be right on those things. Those are actually, that's true. Jesus already did. But it's absolutely a time to do it because why? It allows us opportunities to look into our life. And actually, I said this before. All of these days, the spring feast, and I also believe the fall feast, are every one of these are opportunities for us to reflect. They're opportunities for us to look into our hearts, to look into our life and go, hey, you know, do I have things in my life that I need to get out of my life? It's not just about doing the traditions. The traditions are great, but they're really, the traditions are only the reminder. And I know, I'm not saying that the Moedim, these holy feast days of the spring, are traditions. They're not. They're absolutely commanded for us to do. And because they're commanded, we need to do them. But we need to understand the significance of why we as Christians, people who believe in Jesus Christ, people who say, hey, I'm following Jesus. The reason why this is so important is because when we think about this Feast of Unleavened Bread, it is an opportunity for us to not just go into our home and take all of the bread and the flour stuff and everything out of our home and go, oh, look, I did this. But to look into our heart and ask that tough question, hey, have I taken hamatz? Have I taken sin out of my life? Have I repented of things that I've allowed to sneak in? Maybe, you know, you got in, you know, got a disagreement with someone that you love and you guys are at odds right now. Well, the Bible says when we know that we have sinned against a brother and we're worshiping, we're bringing our offering to Yahweh, we're to stop and do what? Go and make amends with our brother, right? So that's how important it is. So when we look at these feast days, the feast day of the Hamatz that we just celebrated, it's very important that we understand that it's not just a tradition. Number one, it's commanded in Leviticus 23 to do this. Paul reminds us again about it in 1 Corinthians, and he tells us to celebrate the Passover. But then this leads up to a great time. And what is that time? It's the time that we celebrate Shavuot. Now you may be thinking, well, what the heck is Shavuot? What the heck is this all about? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians first. And I want to share my screen again with you. And if I can do this, let's see if I do this right again. And we're going to share the screen and there we go. Now, I want to open this up so we can see it at full screen, if you don't mind. That way we can see it a little bit better. There we go. Now, if we look at this, we look at this text, right? This is huge. Let me go ahead and make this text larger so that we can all see it. There we go. Now, look at what this says. This is Leviticus 15, 23, 15. Then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat. In other words, after the Shabbat of what? Let's go back up, right? You are not to eat bread, roasted grain, or fresh grain. This is talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, right? So let's look at this. I'm going to go all the way back to verse 9. Adonai spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the sons of Israel, Ben Israel, and tell them, when you've come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you are to bring the omer of the first fruit. So the first fruits are to come to the Lord. Going on, from the harvest of the priest, the holy priest, the Kohen. He is to wave the omer before Adonai to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Shabbat, the Kohen is to wave it, the priest are to wave it. Verse 12. On the day when you wave the omer, you are to offer a male lamb. Very important, right? Has a male lamb been offered without blemish? This is critical, right? So, yeah, we look at that. We go, yeah, well, of course that we've done that. Well, what's the male lamb? Well, who is Yeshua? He is the Lamb of Yahweh, right? What did John say when Jesus was approaching him from the crowd? What did John the Baptist say? He said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He will become as the Passover lamb, but he's also the male lamb without blemish, right? 1 year old. Now we know he's 1 year older than one. The grain offering with all with it shall be 2 tenths. Goes into how they're to do it. Going on into it. But watch. You are not to eat bread, roasted grain, or fresh grain until this same day, until you have brought the offering of your God. It is a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. Then, here we go. Then you are to count from the morrow, after the Shabbat, from the day you brought the omer, until the morrow after. So after you bring the first fruits, which was done yesterday, would have been done yesterday, then you are to begin to count 49 Shabbats, okay? 49 Sabbaths, and then after one plus one to present a grain offering to Adonai. Now, how does that apply to us? Well, let's go in here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to blow this up as well. Here we go. Looking at verse 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. Okay? Verse 20. But now, this is Paul speaking, but now Messiah has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also has come through a man. For as Adam, the man, all die, so also in Messiah will be made alive in a life. So Paul, recognizing what's happening, he says, man, Jesus has become our first fruits, right? He's the first fruit offering, which is absolutely beautiful. So this is powerful. Now, bringing this home, what does this have to do? Now, remember, when Jesus resurrected, he told the disciples, what did he tell them? He said, stay in Jerusalem, and I'm going to send the gift to you. I'm going to send the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to go over here to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at this. I still have you on. I'm sharing this with you. Let's take a look here. Acts, I believe it's chapter 1. Let's take a look at what it says. Right? So we go in here, and now, here it is, right here. I'm going to underline this for you so we can see it. Now we can read it right now, right? What's it say? Now, while staying with them, talking about Messiah, he commanded them. He didn't give it a suggestion. It wasn't a suggestion, right? It was commanded. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised. What was the promise? The promise of the Ruach HaKodesh, right? So let's look at that. Moving on. And he said, you heard from me, for John immersed with water, but you will be immersed. What's it say? But you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, not many days from now. Literally, it's like 49 days. I don't know the exact days of when Yeshua went up. I've talked about this before. There is some controversy in this. But many of us believe that from the time he resurrected, when he went up, when he's having this conversation, they believe it was 50 days from this point that this happened. as he goes and presents himself to the Lord, it's that he's offering himself as the first fruit offering. And then we have 50 days to the day, what we call the day of Pentecost. So now he comes in here and this is what happens, right? He appoints the emissaries. And then I'm going through this quite quickly. Here we go. Chapter 2 of Acts. When the day, do you see it? Here it goes. When the day of Shavuot had come. Bow. Man, don't miss this. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together. Why? Because Messiah had commanded them, don't leave Jerusalem, for the Father is going to send the promise. And then we see it here at the day of Shavuot. That's the 50th day. Matter of fact, the day Pentecost, Penta means 50th. So Pentecost, cost means day, 50th day. This is actually what Pentecost means. It doesn't mean that you speak in tongues and you have, you know, you dance around and act like a crazy person. That's not what Pentecost means. I know that's what man has taken it to mean, but this means the scripture talks about what? That on the 50th day, Shavuot, that's what the 50th day, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were seated, and tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each of them, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. This is absolutely powerful. Verse 5 even goes even, now Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. This is powerful. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered. They were bewildered. You can go ahead and read the rest for yourself. This is so, so good. All right, what happened here? There we go. So let me close that up there. Hallelujah. Okay. So this is absolutely a game changer. So for the next, we're on day 2 of the Omer, the counting of the Omer. So you can join us in counting of the Omer. And there's a challenge out there that's been done. And I love it, man. I love the challenge that was brought out by one of our elders. And we sent it out to many of our believers. And that is, man, to really begin to live out this life that Yahweh's called you to live. Why not begin to pray? And everywhere you go, whether you're at the store, whether you're at a restaurant, whether it's your neighbor, begin to ask them how you can pray for them. Begin to pray for them and seek out opportunities to not only serve them in the community, but also seek out ways that you can share the gospel over the next 50 days, actually 48 days now. Okay. So that's a huge challenge for us. Like, what can you do to begin to live as you need to go back? And I'm going to leave a link in this video. If you're watching the video on YouTube, go back and watch Pastor Scott Wonder and his message that he shared with us on the Shabbat and really challenging us to begin to live on mission. What is the mission? The mission is to proclaim the gospel everywhere you go, whether you're at home and your community and your neighbors, or whether it's at the grocery store, or whether it's a club that you belong to, or whatever you're doing, look and seek out ways to share and proclaim the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. Man, it is time that we really step back into this. And we have gotten I don't want to say comatose, but we've really become a little bit lukewarm in our faith, and especially within the Torah community. And we don't have any problem sharing the Torah, but what about sharing the importance of Torah and who the Torah points to? That is Messiah, Jesus. I want to challenge you that over the next 48 days, as you get this, or 47 days, this will go out tomorrow, begin to share how important it is that we come to know Yeshua. If we truly believe that we're living in the end times, then why aren't we out there telling people about Yeshua? This is a great opportunity. Now, the counting of the Omer doesn't tell us to do anything but to count it. And so a lot of what we're doing is just tradition. It's stuff that, you know, it's a challenge that I think we can actually get into. It's something maybe that even you can start a tradition. Maybe as you count these 48 days, what if you went out and served the community in some way. Maybe go to a homeless shelter and see what you can do there. I know here in Texas, we're not very far from a lot of jails, a lot of prisons. Go out and do something. Go do something. Be a light to the world over the next 48 days. Why don't you sit down with your family and actually cast out a vision of like, hey, over these next 40-ish days, we're going to do this, right? And then Shavuot is coming. And when Shavuot is coming, we're going to have a day where we gather and we love on each other and we worship and we invite the Holy Spirit in. Now, let me say something about that. And I want to talk more about this in the coming weeks. The Holy Spirit really gets a bad rap. And we know that. We know that there are people, maybe because in their flesh or in their lack of understanding, they have done things in the name of the Holy Spirit that is absolutely, it's preposterous. It's absolutely a shame. It really is. But at the same time, maybe they did it because that's what they had a knowledge of, right? You don't know what you don't know. And so we take on these characteristics of people and because we don't know that, hey, maybe that's the truth. Maybe that's what the Holy Spirit sounds like. And I want to challenge you, man, to just let go of all of that and then begin to pray something that I think is super important. So number one, not only that you should be praying about where you can serve and where you can do things, but I want to challenge you something that's even more important than that. And that is being led by the Holy Spirit. That is experiencing the Holy Spirit. Because if we go back to our text, maybe we go back here again, right? What's the thing that he said? He said that when the Holy Spirit was to come, see if I can go back and find it. I go all the way back. I'm sharing the screen right now, right? So some versions actually say, and you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit came on you. And see, I think the power to be the witness that you're supposed to be, the power to make sure you're saying the right thing at the right time, the ability to bring and draw back scripture, all of this stuff relies not on our flesh, but it relies on the Holy Spirit. The day of Shavuot, or the day of Pentecost, which is what's going to happen here in 48 days, that we need that. And you may have never had that opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I've never surrendered myself to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And maybe that's what you need to start doing so that you can have ears to hear and eyes to see when you're at the grocery store, or when you're going to the homeless shelter, or you're going to jail, or you're going to a prison, or you're going out on the streets and ministering to people. Whatever it is, we need the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's a story in the Bible where people were really excited about the things of God, and they had seen the disciples casting out demons and like, hey, let us go do that, right? And so they go out doing this, and they get involved in a pretty powerful demon. And they're called the seven sons of Sceva. And they go out and start praying and trying to cast out these demons. And the demon just literally looked at him and said, you know, I've heard of Paul and I've heard of Yeshua. I haven't heard of you. And really, this person that had this possession ends up beating up and tearing up this person or these people that were doing this outside of the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think that's really important because I think sometimes people are trying to do things in their own strength, their own ability, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct their life. This is really what we're going to be doing in this season. And so as you're going out, you need to be asking the Holy Spirit to lead you. You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to teach you. You need to be asking the Holy Spirit to give you words to say and for you, me, to have ears to hear and eyes to see what we're supposed to be doing. Because when you begin to do that, that's really what begins to change people. I was thinking about this on the way over. I'm pretty pumped if you can't tell. I was thinking about this on the way over. I'm still looking at the screen, aren't we? Let me go back over here. There we go. I was thinking about this morning, and I was thinking about how sometimes, man, we miss Yahweh because we don't have the ears to hear or the eyes to see. And I think it's so vital that we learn to do that. We learn to have ears to hear. We learn to have eyes to see. You know, we could do so much more in this kingdom if all of us would just submit ourselves, not to doctrine, but to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I think that's one of the greatest things that we get to participate in this season, these spring feasts, is that Passover represents Messiah and how, you know, he covers our heart and he forgives our sin and he redeems us back into a right relationship with the Father. And then you have the opportunity for those who are saved and those who are believers to remove the Hamas, remove this sin that sometimes easily besets us in this world, because we all can be trapped by it, right? But then the other thing is this Omer and the counting of the Omer and what it's leading to is so powerful. And I don't want you to miss out on that. Man, sometimes, man, we've got to change. I've talked about this before. We've got to change the lenses, the way we see things. You know, I wear glasses, and lately, man, these glasses have become fogged up because they've been scratched, and I drop them sometimes, and I wear a lot of beard oil, and they get all mushy, and you can't quite see, and all of these sorts of things. And I've got to go in, and I've literally got to have my lenses cleaned or my prescription changed. And I think that's the same way it is for us as followers of Messiah, that we get involved in this life and we get scratched up, we get things a little foggy, and we can't quite see the way we used to be able to see. And that's the beauty of the feast days, is it allows us time to get our lenses fixed and to change the way we see things so that maybe we can grow and become everything that the Father wants us to be. That's really the indication of what these feast days are. And so what I'm challenging you to do, what we as Epic Life Church here in Texas are challenging everyone to do, is let's become the body of Christ. Let's get out there and proclaim the good news of Messiah. Let's begin to pray over people. Let's begin to speak the word of Yahweh over people, right? But let's also not forget, let's get empowered again by the Ruach HaKodesh. Let's take the next 48 days and spend it in prayer. Can you imagine praying consistently for 50 days for a particular person? Me, one of the people I'm praying for is my brother, Tim. I'm lifting him up. I want him to get saved. I've had opportunities to witness to him in such great ways, especially over the last couple of days. And so maybe you can join me in praying for him. But I've got friends that are, and pastor, one of our pastors has his children. They're praying for classmates of theirs, and each one of their children has something that they're praying for. I've got another pastor, man, he's praying for people that he's come in contact with, maybe in the hospital or in other areas. But maybe wherever you are and whatever Yahweh's doing in your life, you can go out and say, you know what? I want to make a difference. I want to change someone's life. I want to be used by the Lord. Let's get back to being the church. Let's gather like we're supposed to, but let's not just gather. Let's go into the world and preach the gospel, proclaim the good news of Messiah, that he has come, that he has risen, and that he is coming back again. I love you guys. I love what Yahweh's doing in the community. I hope you do too. And if you don't belong to a community and you're close by, then come visit with us. We're located at 646 North Rockwall in Terrell, Texas. And of course, if you can't do that, you can always go to our YouTube page at Epic Life Terrell YouTube page, and you can we live stream all of our Shabbat services. You can catch up on all sorts of videos through that. But whatever you do, be a part of other believers, gather with others, honor the Shabbat, honor these high feast days, these Moedim that the Lord has given to us. And I know you'll be blessed because of it. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. And I hope we'll see you again.